This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We need to see the Jets go after Carson Wentz.
No, we don't.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Call Tom Brady right now. Call him right now. Call Tom Brady. Call Tom.
The Rich Eisen Show.
How are we back here again? How did this happen? Four snaps.
Today's guests: Pro Football Hall of Famer Randy Moss, Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman, plus your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Tom Pelissero.
Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. I'm actually Rich Eisen. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the program. It's a fun day in our neighborhood because we've got RG3 on this program. Hall of Famer Randy Moss is on this program. Bruce Feldman is stopping by in studio as college football is 100% front and center in the state of Colorado. Obviously, Texas with a big win over Alabama. Michigan State and its head coach are at loggerheads, to say the least. So much to talk about with Bruce Feldman when he joins us from Fox Sports and The Athletic. How are you over there, Chris Brockman? What's going on?
Hey, Rich. I'm just trying to find out why they said Tom was here.
I don't know. I just sit here and I hope that everything goes right. I mean, how are you, Mike Del Tufo? What's going on?
I'm with Brockman on this. What's going on?
Okay. How are you, TJ Jefferson? Morning, what's going on in your neighborhood, neck of the woods?
I mean, it's Wednesday. You know what that means.
I enjoyed hearing you on the What the Football podcast that debuted yesterday.
Thank you. I got to admit, I felt like I brought their podcast down yesterday.
You did not.
But I'm going to be next week. I know. I got an
Why
idea.
Did you feel that way? Susie didn't say that at all, and neither did Amy, and neither did any of the feedback.
First time that I was ever on a panel where I was speaking to two people on either side, so I was trying to address them both, and then I realized halfway through, like, I've got to play to the camera. So it was more like
that. You don't have to. Here's the deal. Yeah. Just be yourself, and everybody should download What the Football. Susie Schuster, great, Amy Trask had Charles Woodson on. He talked about Aaron Rodgers and whether he thinks that Aaron is going to retire when he finally, clears surgery with the Achilles heel that exploded in front of the entire universe on Monday night. He had something to say about Tyreek Hill and how you can stop him. We'll play that soundbite later on. In the meantime, everybody should go where podcasts are required. Hit the follow button on What the Football with Susie and Amy. Chris Brockman and I do Overreaction Monday every single week on this program with all of us. And then Chris and I stay after class. And the podcast version of that is sitting out there as well, where all podcasts can be acquired.
And Rich, not to interrupt, but like the thing with Susie and Amy, if you weren't aware of them before, when you listen to that, that first episode really gives you an idea of both of their personalities, who the two of them are. You know, you're never going to get the first female CEO of an NFL team on your podcast, but
Susie, now she's going to be on it all the time because she's co-hosting it.
They can't have it, but we have it.
That's correct. We have it, and you should have it in your phone and where you get all your podcasts. Okay. I woke up today, and one of the first things I thought of was, man, it's early. After that, I thought to myself, I cannot believe what happened Monday night. I still can't believe it, even though I totally understand why many of you would think that this stuff would befall the Jet fan. This time it just felt different to all of us. But deep down, we knew something was wrong, that we could have something so hopeful. I still can't believe it. 75 seconds. Guys, 75 seconds. We talked about it for 75 straight days.
We really did.
Yeah.
From the minute he announced his intention to play for the Jets and then some. 75 seconds is all it lasted.
Yeah, it's really crazy.
Four snaps is all it lasted. And I am getting my phone blown up from so many friends back east and diehard Jet fans, and I appreciate everybody taking in, you know, what we do here on this show and sharing it and whatever. We don't take that for granted. But I'm getting blown up saying Jets aren't going to stick with Zach, are they? They can't stick with Zach, are they? And the answer is, yeah, they can. Because right now they have to. And that was part of my Monday night real-time mourning process. is because I knew there's no other options right now. There's not any other starting quarterback in the National Football League that's just sitting out there available, like, say, Sam Bradford was for the Vikings several summers ago.
Is he still available?
He's available. But you're also hearing guys kind of similar to that, that Jet fans are like, should they go get Matt Ryan? Should they go get Phillip Rivers? Should they go ahead and get, you know, Carson Wentz? And the answer to that is all no, no, and no. And this is from a guy who knew in the first moment as Zach Wilson went out there on Monday night and threw one straight to Matt Milano like it was 2022 all over again, that this is the Jets' best option moving forward. That's why everybody has their backup quarterback ready. That's why the Cowboys were able to make the playoffs last year, because Cooper Rush went 4-1 while Dak was out. Now, while Dak was out, everybody knew Dak was coming back. Right now, Jets fans, we know Rodgers isn't coming back, and maybe never again, until he shows up most likely on Pat's show, sitting there with whatever his New Jersey background is and his leg up, and him saying, I'm coming back. My intention is to play for the Jets again. And until that happens, this is Zach Wilson's show, because there is no one else to replace him. Not on the roster and not on anyone else's roster. And the Jets, according to Diana Russini of The Athletic, and, you know, she's reporting the Jets have made it clear the last 24 hours that Zach Wilson is their starter. I'm told this is their plan headed into Dallas and beyond, per multiple sources. While they looked at every option on the table, the team believes Wilson is their best choice, which means Tom Brady said no, which means the Rams said pound sand, we're not giving you Matthew Stafford. I'm sure they went ahead and made these phone calls, that they did take a look at whatever options they could possibly get right now, where they could look at their locker room and say, yes, this whole foxhole mentality that we have, this whole group family that got us through that Monday night game in the wildest and worst of circumstances, we're going to tell everybody here we're welcoming somebody else from outside the family to come in and get up to speed real quick. Because Matthew Stafford, even if the Rams were like, sure, and the Jets offered a godfather package at less need, looks at everybody and goes, you know what? Yeah, that was a great first start in Seattle, but we're breaking this thing up right now because we can't say no to that. Stafford would still have to get up to speed. He'd have to practice. He'd have to get in there. He'd have to know what Garrett Wilson does. He'd have to know what Alan Lazard does. He'd have to know blocking schemes. It would take weeks. Zach Wilson has that already in his head. Now, he doesn't have the neck up ability outside of that like Matthew Stafford clearly has, but he's not, to use the phrase of another famous New Yorker, going to walk through that door. Matthew Stafford's not walking through that door. Tom Brady's not walking through that door. Name, Jet fan, any starter in the NFL that you think Joe Douglas could make a godfather offer to get in week one, they're not walking through that door. Who has to walk through that door is a veteran quarterback to add to this locker room, because the way Zach Wilson plays and has played, Joe Flacco got run, Mike White's gotten run in the Zach Wilson era. What, Chris Streveler's gotten some run in the Zach Wilson era? Streveler. I'm serious. Like, because Zach does not have the ability to stay healthy every game. He has not shown that yet. That's another trait of Zach Wilson, is unfortunately, when his availability drives us nuts, his unavailability is also part of it. So he's got to get better when he's available and stay out of the unavailable. Certainly when he's going to Dallas. I'll tell you what, you know what would be really frustrating, Jet fans? Is that the Jets defense balls out again, like they can. My compadre from NFL Game Day Morning, on his undisputed appearance, Michael Irvin said that the Jets defense is going to cause Dak a problem.
Yeah.
They're problematic, and he thinks it's going to be a defensive battle on Sunday, and I don't think he's wrong. And what would be really frustrating is if the Jets have a chance to go to 2-0. that they have a chance to actually absorb the Achilles burst blow and get to 2-0, and Tim Boyle's in the game. Oof. Third quarter, Jets are within one score, and Tim Boyle's in the game.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I know that. You like it. I wouldn't. So they've got to get someone in the building who can walk in, get up to speed now, and if thrown in the game, act like Baker Mayfield did when the Rams picked him up and threw him in a Thursday night game and they beat the Raiders. Because you might need that this Sunday. Get through the week. Get through the week. I don't know who they're going to get. I said yesterday when Carson Wentz was mentioned, like, no, thank you.
But that's a vet right there, Rich.
But no, thank you. Is a vet who has flopped on multiple stages. I'd rather get a vet who flopped on a stage last year, and I'd like to think it's not his doing. I told you, I want Nick Foles, and the Jets know how to reach him. He shares an agent with Rodgers. I would get him and add him right now to this room because Zach needs coaching up, not just from Nathaniel Hackett and Robert Saleh, but from his peers. I think you saw on Inside the NFL on the CW, Alan Lazard picked up on a microphone after, you know, Zach threw the interception, and he goes up to him after they took the lead, and he goes, that's now off your back. It's now on them. Like, we need that sort of positivity, and Nick Foles is as great a human as they have, and you can be. Maybe Flacco, and I know Jet fans will be like, get out of here, and part of me is like screaming inside of me right now, what are you saying into your microphone? But he was with the team last year. You need somebody who could beat the Cowboys if necessary.
Yeah, he won games.
Robert Saleh had this to say to the media when talking about how everybody thinks the Jets are toast.
I don't know why people are trying to put an obituary onto our team name. You know, it's Aaron is an unbelievable piece to this whole thing, and we love him. But I think there's 52 other guys in the locker room, plus the 16 practice squad guys that believe that we can do a hell of a lot of good things here. And you know, we've got championship caliber defense. We've got great skill guys on the offensive side of the ball. Our O line is going to continue to gel and get better. But we're excited about our group. We've worked hard over the last couple of years, players, coaches, scouts, GM, building a pretty cool organization. And so there's still a lot of faith in the locker room on the things that we can still accomplish this year. So it's, while the outside world can go ahead and write whatever story they want to write, there's still the true story being written in this building. So
us against the world, nobody believes in us. Whatever card he's got, he's playing it, and he needs to. And this is exactly why they didn't throw Zach Wilson on the scrap heap last year. I just can't believe 75 seconds in, we're back. The Jets did everything right this non-playing season to get ready. And here we are. I cannot believe it's Zach or bust. At least until another team falls flat, flops, and is willing to flip their backup. Like, the whole business, like, go get Taylor Heineke. Why in the world would the Falcons give up Taylor Heineke? Why would anybody give their backup quarterback, their in case of emergency guy, or somebody who can wind up for their young quarterback who might not perform well enough for another roster ready to win, just like the Jets, with their young players and their coach and their defense? Jesse Bates balled out. Did you see that? I almost put him in my top five performers of week one. Sure, had Jordan White had not come up with three interceptions the night before, he had two. He was one of the best offseason acquisitions. And boom, right off the bat, Atlanta got a W, and they're taking on Green Bay in a huge week two game. So, yeah, with their kid who needs to get ready, he might not be ready. But that's why they have Taylor Heineke there. Why would they flip him to the Jets? Why would anybody flip their backup to the Jets right now? Nobody's going to. Zach is the guy. They've got to get somebody to get in there. So if they do have to turn to this person, it's not, I'm sorry to keep using his name as the example of complete and unmitigated disaster, but Tim Boyle ain't it. Why would the Panthers flip Andy Dalton to the Jets? And why would the Jets give up like a first round pick for one of those guys when that first round pick just got is the one silver lining of Rodgers getting hurt? Is that first round draft choice that the Jets absolutely were ready to give to the Green Bay Packers. They now won't. So, the Jets are going to have to get Zach up to speed and make him play smart and protect himself when Micah Parsons and the Dallas Cowboys are coming for him on Sunday on a short week. Pick up somebody who might be able to get them through the day if their defense performs and run games performs like we know they can. See what the landscape looks like in the middle of October. And go for it. They have no other option. Which is why the coach is going out there playing, we're not dead yet. Us against the world. No one thinks we can do it cards. The thing is, he might be out of those cards by the time Mahomes shows up on week four, Sunday night. Because the Cowboys and the Patriots, who put Zach Wilson in the position of being inoperable, right front and center, and probably caused the Jets to start thinking about Rodgers on the spot. That team is coming in week three. What say you? 844-204-RICH, number RG3 in hour three. Randy Moss in hour two. Bruce Feldman in studio talking college football. I've got my power rankings when we come back.
Ooh.
For week number one in the books. My first in-season power rankings. That's next. Your phone calls at 844-204-RICH as well. Right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
On October 5th, Loki is back in a brand new season.
Reunited.
That's right.
The countdown is on.
I've been waiting.
Don't miss the return of Marvel's most watched Disney Plus show.
Loki.
Loki. Loki.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
His time is running out.
You better run!
Marvel Studios Loki Season 2. New episodes streaming October 5th, only on Disney Plus.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
My guest is Kim Zuckman. She is author of the book There's No Cream in Cream Soda. I don't think I've ever really known the story of why they're called hot dogs.
There are so many legends about the name of the hot dog. When the Germans immigrants came over and they brought all of their sausages, they also brought their dachshunds. It really is because they kind of look like dachshunds.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.
All right. I'm talking about the Jets a lot, huh? It's the number one story.
I mean, it's been that way for
months. Did you see Schefter's tweet? Do me a favor. Which one? I'm going to send it to you guys. We'll talk about it later on.
Hey, you want a positive of all this, Rich? As of right now, Aaron Rodgers does have more wins on the season than Mahomes and Joe Burrow.
By the way,
Josh Allen.
That is exactly.
So look at that.
The flaw in the win loss records for the quarterbacks.
Yeah, but right. Zach Wilson shouldn't get a win for that.
So there should be no assigned wins.
It should be a team win.
Honestly, it should go to Gibson.
So
that guy should get the win.
Or the defense.
Or the referee who didn't throw the flag.
Oh, stop it.
Come on.
If that flag had been thrown, the Jets would have had the ball on the 40-yard line. Two or three runs, Zuerlein goes out, easily could have won. Could have missed.
It was closer than the 40.
I understand the game wouldn't have ended.
No, it would have been
ended.
A 15-yarder from the spot.
I don't want to hear any of that stuff. By the way, you know, there are flags missed in every NFL game that affect the outcome. I don't even want to hear that anymore.
Yeah,
Well, lucky for us, John Candy has a warning for you, Rich.
What is that?
I had a bad experience on this ride once before.
Yeah, I know, right?
Sorry, folks.
We put Testaverde. Smitch put Testaverde in there now. Left Achilles tendons that exploded Smitch. To blow that's up so Super Bowl hosts.
I had a bad experience on this ride once
that
before.
That is so unacceptable. But I can still see the humor.
Sorry, folks.
Tried to warn you. I mean, I'm just saying.
Park's closed.
Treating me like a dog, Mr.
It's not. You heard. There's still 52 men and 16 on the practice squad that are keeping that park open.
One ride may be a little bumpy, but other than that, we're good.
I used to do inspect rides, Rich, as a kid, when I was younger.
Oh, my God. Was that? Didn't they make the documentary about that park in New Jersey? Not that one.
No, not actually. Okay, good. Park. I did get hurt.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. All right. Let's take some phone calls. What?
I get it. You're just exhausted already, and it's week two.
75 seconds, Chris. 75 seconds. Even you couldn't make that up. Even you.
No, did you see the dude on Twitter who called it like at like 3 in the afternoon?
Yeah, that was because
of all
insane.
The rain.
Oh, yeah.
The guy was like, oh, with all this rain, yeah, Rodgers is going to blow his Achilles
in 2.5 hours.
And it was crappy turf.
And it was almost 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
So if there's two silver linings. Two. One of them is long-lasting, and one of them just feels good at the moment.
Okay.
Feels good.
Here's the one that lasts longest, is that the Jets don't have to give up their first-round selection.
Yeah.
And that if their season goes tubular in a spectacular way, which I don't think is going to happen, they have too many terrific players.
That's kind of the rub, is that you're not bad enough to get one of these top quarterbacks.
Correct.
You're going to be in that 7-10 win range. And you're going to be in flat dab in the middle of the draft.
But at least there's a first rounder. I don't care who it is. Yeah. It could be, as you know, doesn't matter. Sometimes you could find a gem.
You could get Brock Bowers, maybe, in that
spot.
You
never know, right?
You never know.
So that's one silver lining. The other silver lining are all the Rodgers haters who showed up to that bar in Milwaukee thinking that they are going to drink for free.
They started
they're
running
drink
up tabs.
For free.
They
had
not
up. Now, apparently, they had to open up. This is the bar that said if it's the Packers aren't on and the Jets are on,
right,
and you open your tab 15 minutes before the game, yep, it's on the arm if the Jets lose. And I told you that was the dumbest, most absurd, dumb giveaway promotion I've ever heard. Because again, Rodgers, it's not like he did nothing in Green Bay. And how many times have the Packers and their fans enjoyed water skiing behind Hall of Famer yachts and making Super Bowls, winning only one for Favre and Rodgers, but they have trophies. Let's just put it that way. Their trophies aren't lonely. And then we saw what happened week one. You got a great coach, and you got a kid who can play quarterback, and you got a defense that's going to go hunt. And they went into Chicago, and they're like, ownership papers have been transferred. So you Packer fans, the fact that there's any of them out there that are spending even a second of their lives out of spite showing up, and when Rodgers goes down, they then know in this game that – drinks are on, as they say in Goodfellas, the house.
They're not.
Drinks are on the house because they're going to start going for it. And they start pounding. They start drinking.
Pounding.
And then at the end of the night, when the Jets walk off and win, they are presented with a fat tab. A fat tab that they have to pay and swallow their spite. For all you folks out there who did that, I am so happy. I hope it was hundreds of dollars.
Henry,
hundreds.
I want my money.
I was going to say, I want to know what the highest tab was. Did someone get the four figures?
Oh, I don't know.
Just being like, all right, this was on me. This was on me.
Great. Who wants it? Who wants
just,
it?
Hey.
Drinks. Top shelf. And baby, top shelf.
The only problem with that is the bar owners who came up with this construct made a killing.
For one night. I mean, I can't imagine it's going to stretch now that Wilson's a quarterback.
Exactly.
It
turned out to be one night only.
One night, and they cashed in.
Because I told you, folks that want to create promotional constructs out of the Jets' misery, we're already there. We're already there, and inevitably, we'll wind back up there. So why celebrate it?
Because it's someone else's pain. And that's funny.
No, it's not funny. It's dumb. And it will always be dumb. And I just can't be any happier that people who actually tried to take advantage of this and live in the Jets' misery kind of got flipped on its head. Fantastic.
And then you go 1-16.
No. Now, but it's a great one. Right? It's a great one, pal.
Yeah.
And they have a first-round pick if they do go 1-16.
And you get Caleb Williams.
That's a silver lining.
I can feel it.
Yeah. Nick Foles. Right? Zach Wilson gets Josh Rosen. That's not happening. They all want to know.
Bright side.
Let's go to Lucas in Virginia. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Lucas?
Rich, my buddy. Hey.
Yes.
Watching the game the other night, I felt so bad for you. I don't know many Jets fans down here in Virginia, but we felt bad for you.
Thank you, sir.
I tell you, I might have a solution to your QB problem.
Okay.
There's a team in Nashville. I don't know if you know of them. You don't like Nashville very much, I hear. But they got three.
Tannehill.
And I don't know if you saw Sunday.
No, no.
One guy, number three, was pretty important to him that day. But you got two others. So how about you come to Nashville and do a little self-scouting? And since you'll be in Nashville.
They get on the bus? You want me on the bus?
How about you stop by your favorite Wolverine's bus and follow us?
Okay.
The bull.
I like it.
Get some insider info on some QBs.
Let me go personally scout Will Levis with his mayonnaise coffee and his biting bananas without peeling them. Go down there and check it out.
He puts a little Whistle Pig whiskey in there now, you know.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you, Lucas. Lucas in Virginia, appreciate it.
Why does Lucas think you're on like Nashville?
By the way, though, you know, Tannehill's not a bad option. Because if Tennessee...
Tennessee, that would be an admission that they're punting on this year.
No doubt. And DeAndre Hopkins would go, what?
Yeah, exactly. And they had a chance to win in week one.
That's why now is just not, but that monitor it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how you monitor.
In a month,
keep it going.
By the deadline,
and if
we'll
Zach
see.
Is just struggles to do the basic stuff, let's have him take the coaching that I'm sure he's going to be receiving, similar to what Tomlin told George Pickens. Do the routine stuff routinely. That's it. The routine stuff routinely. You know what's part of the routine here on the Rich Eisen Show now? Because these guys kept chirping at me for years. You got to do it. You got to do it. And I'm like, I don't wish to do this. I don't wish to do this. Because to me, who cares what I rank teams? And then on top of it, why do they call power rankings?
Power.
Because like snap, power. You got the power.
I don't understand power.
Exactly. TJ.
Like power means
power.
Good.
I know. So why don't we call them the good team rankings?
Why don't you change the name to it?
It might not be a team.
Rich Eisen's good team rankings.
Do you want to do it?
Yeah.
That's fine.
No, I get it.
They're your power rankings.
And I
so they're your good team rankings.
These are my good team rankings. Doesn't really feel
kind
of
like that. That's
power.
You know?
These teams,
you just made the list.
These teams have power.
Power.
They're really good. You're weird.
And I did see, people are interested.
Rich tried to tell you that.
Super fun special team rankings.
It's not enough.
No, not good enough.
I don't like it.
Doesn't have that.
All right.
I like the good.
Hit it. Good. My first in-season power rankings.
This is power rankings.
There are many like it, but this one is mine.
Power rankings.
Yes. Yes.
And the bells are back.
These rankings have power.
Yes.
And it is in ascending order of powerful team rankings. The team with the 10th most power.
This is going to be great.
On my rankings.
What dumb team are you going to put in this top 10?
New to the list are your Cleveland Browns.
Okay.
Call them elves all you want.
They should be higher.
Call them elves all you want.
But
they took care of business against Cincinnati again. And if they can run it down your throat, and if you are struggling on offense and you wind up giving them a lead of a score or two scores, they could put you to sleep because they got the Grim Reaper with his sickle coming for your quarterback and Myles Garrett. Jim Schwartz is coordinating the defense. The Browns fans are like, wait a minute. We have a DC that we're not going to be bitching about 24/7, 365. So I don't know what they're going to be complaining about next, but they didn't have anything to complain about week one. They're number 10 on my power rankings. Number 9, moving up one spot, are the Baltimore Ravens. They are number 9 on this list. It's interesting that they say they're not going to go outside the family to go replace J.K. Dobbins when people like Kareem Hunt and Leonard Fournette are sitting at home. But we'll see. And I can't wait to see them against Cincinnati in Cincinnati in week two. Well, they're licking their wounds, and the Ravens can come to make them 0-2, and not just 0-2, but one of those hard 0-2 in divisions. So in division, number 9 are the Ravens. Down two spots, number 8 on this list are the New York Jets. I'm still keeping them in my top 10. They did get the win.
Why?
Because they have a championship quality defense that will come for you.
But they have
and
a bottom
you,
5 quarterback.
I got it. Number 8 on this list are the New York Jets. They are
a team
that can absolutely go ahead and beat you on defense and clearly on special teams and also make plays on offense with a run game and an offensive line. All they got to do is just have their quarterback make some layups. Number 7 on this list, down 3 spots, are the Buffalo Bills. I'm putting the Bills above the Jets. I'm saying to you that I still believe in Josh Allen. I don't know. What do we got? Meditation? What can we do? Some sort of daily affirmation? Should he go see Stuart Smalley and look in a mirror? Because gosh darn it, people do like him. Mm-hmm. And the defense is only going to get better. Hopefully Vaughn comes back soon. I like their improved run game. You know, Gabe Davis is still somewhat invisible. I mean, are we going to just see that one game in the playoffs from 2 years ago? I know in my world, he's still fantasy dining off on that one.
Yep.
But let's just see it. We didn't see much of Dalton Kincaid yet either. I still believe the Bills are a top 7 team. They're down 3 spots. Up 2 spots are the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think that they are going to go and welcome in Kansas City, and this is going to be lit. And I kind of feel like they're going to win this football game. I'm feeling it. I don't know if I'm going to pick it.
I can feel it.
I need to see if Kelsey is going to come back. Chris Jones is back in the fold. I think he'll have the proverbial one snap to get ready. And I like them. They're number 6 on my list, up 2 spots. Number 5 on this list, new to the list, are your Miami Dolphins. I think that they showed everyone that as long as Tua doesn't have to hold on to the ball, he's going to get rid of it and protect himself. The Tua Jitsu worked in Los Angeles to the tune of 466 yards. And as long as he doesn't have to throw onto it and just get rid of it on time, good luck defending Tyreek Hill. Good luck defending Tyreek Hill, who is unguardable right now. Charles Woodson was on the What the Football podcast as the inaugural guest. Later on in the show, we'll play you the soundbite. He flat out said there isn't somebody in the league who can cover him one-on-one right now. No one. There's not a human on the planet that can go ahead and just say, I got him, and erase him. And he's going to have to face Sauce Gardner twice this year. It'll be fascinating to see how teams can defend the Dolphins. Certainly, my eyes are peeled Sunday night with the New England Patriots in that mix. Number 4 on this list, down 2 spots are the Chiefs. I'm not taking any cheese, even though I just said they're going to be 0-2. I still think that they're going to win the AFC. They got to get Kelsey back, my goodness. And man, Kadarius Toney, please catch the ball. And until you do, you may not troll Giants fans. You're out of that business, please. That's number 4 on the list. Number 3 on the list, down 2 spots, are the Philadelphia Eagles. They were number 1 in my book going in. They're now number 2 coming, down 2 spots coming out. I can't wait to see what they do Thursday night against the Vikings. That is going to be fascinating to me. Get the ball to Dallas Goedert, please. That is something that Belichick clearly took away. We will see what they can do. Number 2 on this list, up 5 spots, are the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, come on.
I have the Dallas Cowboys number 2 on this list. I need to see them.
They didn't play a real team, TJ.
I won't say the Giants aren't a real team. I will say that they are a team.
They got a $40 million quarterback.
I understand. I just want to see
each point Dallas.
I want to see Dallas against the defense that the Jets are going to bring, and then Dallas after that, they are taking on. Let me get this right here. They're at Arizona, home for New England at San Francisco. So I think there are going to be some tests upcoming, obviously, at San Francisco being the biggest on a Sunday night because they are my number one team on this list. And I know Dallas pitched a shutout in New York. What San Francisco did in Western PA was a total ass kicking.
There's just no other way
to describe it. And they hardly did a thing with Debo, hardly did a thing with Kittle. Bosa comes back, and even with him, not up to full speed, apparently. They were buzzing everywhere. McCaffrey had a superb game. And Purdy showed that this is the reason why they're like, oh, yeah, it's him. The battle's for number two, everybody. And the San Francisco 49ers are the number one team on my power rankings list entering week two. So that's my power rankings. I know you had a problem with the lower part of it, huh? Who would you have put in the top 10 that I didn't? By the way, the two teams that I had fall out completely are the Seahawks and the Bengals. I took the Bengals from 5 out. I could not
that's
keep
fair.
Them.
That's fair.
I couldn't, were, even though I still believe in
really
them.
Really bad.
Even though I still believe in them, I just can't take a team that barely showed, for the lack of a better phrase.
You could have had Green Bay in there.
Instead of who?
Instead of the Jets.
Okay.
You could have had Cleveland a little
higher. I think the Jets defense is better than the Green Bay's, even though we saw what Green Bay did to Chicago.
No Lions in there, right?
No, I still didn't put them in there.
So,
I guess I could have.
I mean, they did beat the Chiefs.
I could have.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a...
Baltimore wasn't that impressive in their win. Lamar didn't look great at all, really. I might have had Cleveland higher, Jets out, Packers and Lions in.
I take all notes and considerations.
But Miami, that's a good spot for them. You might have had them higher in Kansas City. They were just so impressive.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to do week to week. I want to think long term, and the Lions should be in here.
Well, you're doing the power rankings wrong.
It's a week to week.
That's too bad. No, it's not a week to week thing. I want to look long term as well. I want these to be like when you look back weeks later, go, okay, he was on it.
You care too much about being right. Power rankings aren't about being right.
I know.
We're kind of living in the moment.
Well, the one thing is, you know, I have been singing the Lions praises. I should have put him in there.
Yeah.
I think that was the only thing that surprised me out of your list.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not surprised you put Dallas, too. Look, the 49ers are a hurdle we've yet to clear. So I've got no problem with you having them higher.
Also, honestly, the Cowboys' offense wasn't that great. Dak wasn't that impressive. Tony Pollard as advertised, but that was just a defensive game that was kind of over in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm. The Lions did look terrific on opening night.
Yeah.
Again, we say Dak wasn't that impressive, but... You take away those drops, that's an extra 1 to 2 touchdown passes. He didn't have to do much. It was pretty much just put this game
that's
on cruise control.
That's what I mean. So, you know, having them 2 is fine. You could have had them 3. I would have been okay with it.
We'll take a break. Come back. More of your phone calls. TJ Jefferson.
Yes, sir.
The win-loss game, you're going to take a second shot at it with the Dallas Cowboys now that you saw the 40-0 opening night.
Not only that, just after hearing all the callers and, you know, I figured maybe it was a little not real with my picks.
Okay. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show before Randy Moss joins us. Hey, it's Rich Eisen. You want an exciting and fast-paced podcast based on one of the most popular segments in the history of the Rich Eisen Show? Well, you got it. Overreaction Monday, hosted by me, Rich Eisen, and my compadre, Chris Brockman. And every Monday, we're going to dive into the headlines from pro and college football and overreact. Are you ready, Chris Brockman? Yay or nay?
Yes, Rich. No holding back, buddy. I'm coming for you.
Absolutely what you need to hear. Overreaction Monday, every single Wait For It Monday, wherever you listen. Back here, I saw my buddy Schefter, who I adore. He tweeted this out. You know, and he very rarely does opinions or takes on his Twitter. Ever. Right? Like, he always tells you, this is the information, or here's this video that, you know, that this team is doing, or whatever. But he tweeted this one out. Aaron Rodgers' torn Achilles might be the most devastating injury to a team and fan base in NFL history. There's never been a player who received more offseason hype, who raised another team's expectations more, who had his season end 4 plays in without ever completing a pass. And I just grabbed the Adrian Brody gif, and I'm like, and? Like, okay. Like, what's that information?
Michigan on Michigan crime there.
Well, Adam, what your point is?
Wow. Yeah, I don't like that. What, your Michigan guy here taking.
What's and? Like, what's next? Good to know.
Just a statement of fact.
Yeah, but his facts are normally like Aaron Rodgers is seeking medical consultation right now, not like Aaron Rodgers is just, his injury has kicked the entire fan base in the nards to his 90 billion people. I'm like, okay, all right.
Sorry, folks.
Oh,
that was funny, Mike. That was really funny.
Yeah. At some point, Rich is just going to curse at you, Mike. Right?
That's all right. It's all good. Yeah, won't do that. This is all good in the hood.
Sorry, folks.
Sorry, folks.
But I just didn't expect that.
Park's not closed.
That sort of.
That was a very Magic Johnson-esque tweet, though.
Ooh.
Just kind of pointing out the obvious. Yeah, no kidding.
I don't know who. Like, if that would be like if Brady. Well, the only thing is if Brady goes down to Tampa, right? But Tampa has a trophy in the case from like 2003. You know.
Maybe he ran that by Magic first before posting it.
Magic.
Next on First Take. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH. Number to dial here on the program. Let's go to Mike in San Diego. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Mike?
So it seems to me, Rich, that as a big, huge Jets fan myself.
Yes, sir.
Is trying to trade for Jameis Winston an option?
No.
And if trades aren't an option, isn't Colt McCoy the most obvious option?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I have no idea.
He's in training camp. He's actively played.
But we also don't know. We also don't know what he's looked like. In the same way, Mike, that I've been saying, give me Nick Foles. I have no idea. Like, if he shows up and he works out and he throws like three balls that are substandard, and Nathaniel Hackett and Robert Saleh knows what it looks like, and so does Joe Douglas. They could all look at each other and go, okay, where are we going to lunch? Where are we taking Nick to lunch for his time? You know, like, I have no idea. And Colt McCoy is not an answer. Colt McCoy is not going to suddenly – you think he's going to become the Nick Foles of the situation? He's going to become –
No.
You know
– No, I think he's a blood stopper, man. And it's between – the responsibility is going to fall on Zach Wilson and quarterback A or B to be a blood stopper, because we're not winning the Super Bowl with anything that we're going to find. You don't chew the gum, you scrape off the bottom of the table, man.
Thank you for that analogy, Mike, in San Diego. It's interesting. A blood stopper. That's what the Jets need. What they need is what they did have is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Now what they need is a coagulant.
But Richie, you're turning
a quarterback
down,
coagulator.
You're turning down every quarterback that's been suggested. At some point, you have to realize you're going to need a backup.
But like, I haven't turned down
why you wouldn't want a Jameis Winston or Nick Foles. Jameis
is not an option. The Saints have designs on winning their division because they can. Because they're 1-0, because Derek Carr is there. And if Derek can't answer the bell, they're not going to go Taysom Hill, get in there. They're going to say, Jameis, go get him. And Jameis is exactly why he's there. Cooper Rush, that's why he's there. Taylor Heineke, that's why he's there. In week two, nobody's coughing up their backup.
Got to wait a month.
Period.
Let's wait a month.
So that's why I'm saying you've got to go and get a veteran. And apparently Robert Saleh said moments ago they're comfortable going into this week with Tim Boyle and Zach Wilson, and I'm going to light a candle. Because Dallas can go hunt. How many times did I see on Sunday night Daniel Jones get up from the turf with a face full of pellets? Over and over and over again. They are coming. They smell blood. They know Tim Boyle's next. They know all their offense has to do is get 14, and they're most likely going to win this thing. They know that if Dak is struggling, they'll get him the 7 to get to the 14. That's how they're coming in. You think Dan Quinn is saying anything else other than fresh meat? Who wants it? And the rest of the room is like raising their hands. All right, TJ, taking out my book here. I have my schedule here. The Dallas Cowboys. You, when we did the win-loss game before the season, you had the Dallas Cowboys at 11-5.
11-6.
11-6. 11-6. My bad. Now that you've seen what they look like, I'm going to give you a mulligan.
Ooh. Oh, a do-over.
Give him some music, Mike.
Mike, come on, TJ.
Come on, TJ.
You're already 1-0. Right. You got that right. Next up for the Jets, you initially had them as a loss. What do you got to say now?
Well, you know, due to some unforeseen circumstances surrounding the Jets, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to flip this script, and I'm going to say that's a win. In week two.
At the Cardinals?
I believe I predicted a win.
You did?
So I'm going to say we'll keep that a
you
win.
You had a win against New England in week four.
Despite a great showing against the Eagles, I'm going to keep that as a win.
Okay, that's 4-0 now. You had them losing to the 49ers. What about now?
Like I said earlier in the show, man, the Niners are a hurdle we've yet to clear. So I'll go ahead and I'll leave that as a no.
Okay, you had them as a win against the Chargers. What about now?
I see no reason to change that.
You had a win against the Rams at home. What about now?
Big dub.
You had them losing at the Eagles. What about now?
At Philly, that's the key there. I'm gonna keep that L there.
Okay, you had them beating the Giants again.
Come on, baby.
You had them beating the Panthers.
Dubsy.
You had them beating the Commanders on Thanksgiving.
Same thing.
You had them losing to Seattle the week after.
We're just gonna go ahead and swap that. You had them beating
Philadelphia at home.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep that.
You had them week 15 losing at the Bills.
Okay, we're gonna take that L. And we're going to switch it.
You got to win air, huh?
Into the dub.
Now, this is interesting. Christopher, we have now meet the crossroads here. In week 16, you had them beating Miami in Miami.
Ooh.
I did, didn't I?
Ooh.
What about now?
We got to flip that, baby.
Well, like Captain Jack Sparrow once said, situations arose, ensued, were overcome.
Oh, he went Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah, I say Caribbean.
Caribbean.
You know what? Gilmore, Diggs versus Cheetah. I like our chances. That's a dub. Let's go. Let's go.
Home for the Lions. You had them beating the Lions in week 17. What about now?
Well, I'm going to have them beating the Lions again in week 17.
And then you had them losing at the Commanders in week 18.
Yeah, you know, that's that game. Probably going to sit some people. You know.
Don't think Cooper Rush can still take care of business?
Yeah, but it's you know how that conference rival thing goes. It's hard to.
So you're gonna keep that in a loss, huh?
Unfortunately, yeah. All right, I know my team's tendencies.
You upgraded from 11-6 to 14-3.
This takes a nice chunk out of the pie.
You flipped three L's into W's and kept the loss at San Francisco, at Philly, and at the Commanders. You have them undefeated in AT&T Stadium in the Jones Mahal, which I don't know. Can we look that up? Have they ever done that?
Probably not.
They always Whoa. Have one of those play down to your competition games at home. Almost always.
Oh, yeah.
And I hope that happens against Zach Wilson on Sunday.
I bet you do.
All right, you changed it. You turned that frown upside down three times.
Good job, TJ.
Thank you.
You agree with this, Chris?
Well, I tried to be humble at first when I did. Then I realized no one else, they were just... You know,
I think Dallas is really good. Their defense is arguably the best in the league at this point. So why not?
I can feel it.
It's all on Dak, right?
Yep.
It's all on their receivers to catch the ball when it's thrown to them.
Tight ends, listen.
It's all on Tony Pollard to stay healthy because I don't know about their backup running backs.
Randy Moss is coming up. Speaking of somebody who is a professional cowboy wrecker.
Man who should have been a cowboy. Ugh.
Got to talk to him about that. Is that the first order of business with Randy Moss? That's called snapping off a Dwight Gooden curveball on a guest.
He curb stomped us like he was Seth Rollins every single time we played that man.
Greatest it
was
Thanksgiving performance ever.
Three catches, three touchdowns.
163
yards. 160 yards, yeah.
Like, every time.
Is that good?
Well, I know on Overreaction Monday, which you can get as a podcast as well, you said, I think it was on the podcast version, is Tyreek Hill a first ballot Hall of Famer? And I said that... He's on the road to be going to the Hall of Fame if he keeps on this process. But first ballot Hall of Famers?
That's tough.
That's a totally – Chris, for some reason, the voters hold receivers to a different standard.
Yep.
And Randy Moss broke through on that.
T.O. didn't, though.
He didn't. Yeah. Neither did Michael Irvin didn't. The whole bunch of other receivers who won Super Bowls and were crucial in Super Bowl runs –
Yeah, they're really tough on these guys.
What if Miami wins the Super Bowl in the next couple of years and Tyreek goes for 200?
Oh, I'm not saying it's out of the realm.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I just said right now to call him a first ballot Hall of Famer, that was the overreaction. To call him a Hall of Famer, I think that was a proper reaction. But first ballot's a different ball of wax. And I remember when we did the NFL 100 all-time team show, and we did the receivers first. And they were in the green. Oh, no, we did the quarterbacks first. And then the green room, they were next. And Brady and the rest of the quarterbacks came in, and Randy Moss was taking pictures. And we're like, please do not, you know,
post that.
Post it. He posted it right away.
That's Randy Moss, man. What's going to do?
Randy hit it. He just, boom, hit it.
Bunch of goats.
It's okay.
In that picture.
It's called promotion.
You could hear that picture bad.
Randy Moss and then Bruce Feldman in studio with everything going on in the college football world. Dion on national TV on ESPN taking on Colorado State. That's all you need to know about Dion's success.
Must see TV.
Hour two coming up.
Great tweet we just got from a guy named Steven Jones at DJ Steve Jones.
It's spelled with
from
a V.
The Cowboys?
Spelled with a V.
V.
So it's not that V. Right. Yeah.
So is Too Jiggy just going to do a new win-loss game every time Dallas inevitably chokes or impresses every week?
You want to answer that?
Fair question.
I mean, this is the Rich Eisen
question.
This is the Rich Eisen show. You're going to have to ask him. I'll do it every week.
I don't know, man. I mean, you're
first of all, Steven, I don't like your tone. First and foremost, I don't know you, and I don't like your tone. I heard your tone through the tweet.
Oh, TJ, if I give you one guess,
Eagles.
My man has Fly Eagles Fly in his bio.
Oh, by the way.
Didn't they give them a win against us? What's he complaining
about?
That
noise you heard this morning was the head slap in Philadelphia Eagles, in the Philadelphia Eagles home building, in the management, in the owner's suites, everywhere in Philadelphia. When did you see the guy?
They finally
captured.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
wearing an Eagles sweatshirt.
The guy who escaped from prison. He's wearing an Eagles sweatshirt.
Great representation of Eagles fan base.
They must have been like, "Hey, listen, I rarely speak for the NFL. You know, Roger Goodell could do that on behalf of the NFL. To anybody out there who escapes from prison, do us a favor. When you get caught, do not wear an NFL team logo.
At least don't wear a Cowboys one, please."
Wow.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Hey guys, it's Susie Schuster, and I am so excited for my new podcast coming out this fall. It is called What the Football with Susie Schuster and the Princess of Darkness, Amy Trask. If you're looking for a new podcast to listen to about jargon, heavy-legged waistbenders, this is not for you. We're going to have big girl conversations, and we are going super deep to bring you weekly guests that you won't find anywhere else. It is What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask, wherever you listen.